listening to Fox Sports Radio.
You heard it. I'm RJ. We've got an action-packed hour for you. And this is Recap Monday. What did we learn? What did Vegas learn this weekend that will make us money next weekend? And Monday Night Football preview from a Vegas perspective. In studio with me, one pro who knows, Brad Powers, with all the college knowledge. NFL expert Steve Fezzik is at the biggest gambling gaming conference in the world in Vegas every year, and he was asked to be on a panel about sports betting. So kudos to Fez. One day off, we'll have some photos and such of him on the esteemed panel. He'll be back tomorrow. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. Here's my personal promise. We will deliver the Vegas truth to you. You can't have the pros, though, without the Joes. And he's my favorite, Jonas Knox, the voice of the fans.
It's good to be here, RJ. Good to be the voice of the fans, and good to be here on Straight Outta Vegas from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios, where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. So we start off every show with the Vegas perspective on the biggest sports story of the day, and we saw it on Sunday. We saw Baker Mayfield win. We saw Sam Darnold win. We saw Josh Allen win. We saw Josh Rosen win. All the rookie quarterbacks won a game on Sunday in the NFL. That's the narrative. But RJ, what does Vegas say?
It is a narrative. And let's give Colin Cowherd right here on Fox Sports Radio credit. He was saying this was going to be a week of the rookies. And 4-0, can't do better than that, Brad. 4-0. I think the narrative, though, the takeaway is wrong, and we can benefit. We can exploit. A lot of people think the word exploit's a bad word. I think it's a good word. We want to exploit the mistakes that other bettors make and what the mainstream media propagates out there, which is, oh, look how good these quarterbacks are. 4-0, baby. Well, let's dig a little deeper. Josh Allen won a game. Brad, you actually had the Bills against me on a little side bet. Kudos. I know I had had the Chargers against you in a bigger bet. So yeah. I'm feeling kind of gracious.
I'd rather have it the other way around.
I'm feeling kind of gracious. I can't lie. Josh Allen had 82 yards passing. Not in the first quarter, not in the second quarter, not in the first half. The game, 82 yards. So winning matters, ultimately. Not going to win many games with 82 yards. Sam Darnold completed 10 passes, not in the first quarter, first half, 10 passes, in only 45% of his attempts. We're in a league now where 2 out of 3, 66%, is a, you know, good, really good, but you know, reasonable, 45% completions for Darnold. Rosen also completed 10 passes. He couldn't complete 45%, though, 40% of his passes. The narrative is wrong. Josh Allen, 82 yards total. Sam Darnold, 10 completions, 45% of attempts completed. Rosen, 10 completions, 40% of attempts. There is one exception, though. Baker Mayfield. I was a skeptic, too. Now, Colin has to have the good and the bad. You know, when Colin's wrong, well, I got to tell you, everyone that thinks they're smarter than the GMs that I know were like, why, you know, the Browns being the Browns. Brad, let me ask you, if you could have any of these rookie quarterbacks, not Mahomes, who do you want right now for the next 10 years?
Ooh, wow.
I mean, who's even in the debate?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I got to go with Baker right now.
But who would even be next?
Maybe Sam Darnold.
Yeah, and again, we don't know, right? I know it was a different era. But Terry Bradshaw literally was benched the fourth year for, I think it was Terry Hanratty in 74. He was the number one pick, Bradshaw, in 1970. And in 1974, he was, before the first Super Bowl, he was benched. We don't know for sure what a handful of games really means. But what we know is Darnold threw for 342 yards. Check that. Mayfield, 342 against the Ravens, one of the best pass defenses in the league. So right now, Allen, Darnold, Rosen, let's give them all incompletes. Mayfield looks better than any of the other quarterbacks. Now, how do we use it? We use it because the public's going to say, oh, look, it's the Bills going for two out. You know, they've won two or three. Here they go. Okay, maybe. And maybe they might cover. But, boy, I think the general sports fan is thinking more of these rookies than objectively they should.
Here on Straight Out of Vegas, we go to the Vegas lead, and it's a reality of the new NFL. And, RJ, we were having this discussion about Super Bowls. If you were to picture a Super Bowl and if you were to look ahead into the future, who could you see winning it? You had an interesting angle on it.
Yeah, and that's a great question. Who could win the Super Bowl? I'm going to rattle off the teams I envision. Rams, Kansas City, New England. Saints, Vikings, Steelers. This is a long list. Carolina, Green Bay, Philly, Baltimore. Maybe we can debate we missed someone, and obviously Cincinnati's out, and we can talk about them later. I can see this Cincy team. Here's the easy part: they could be 1-4. It's more likely that they'd be 1-4, the Bengals, than 4-1. That's an absolute objective fact. So I would rather have any of these teams. And if you're skeptical out there, if you're a slave to the record, the one loss, then ask yourself, if you were making a bet with RJ and we said, okay, I get one team, you get one team, and if either of those teams win, we pay each other off. And if neither do, it's no bet. Would you rather have Cincy over the Rams, KC, New England? Obviously not. Saints, Minnie, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Philly, Green Bay, Carolina? Yeah, maybe Carolina, maybe, but I don't think so.
You'd rather have Andy Dalton or Aaron Rodgers?
Well, yeah, you could say that. I hear you. So, but here's the point. It's one thing to kind of poo-poo on Cincy, and looking at the early line, Cincy favored by 2.5 at home against the Steelers, I think my feelings about Cincy's going to become very obvious with the best bets this week as we proceed to next weekend's action. But here's the real takeaway to me. Other than the Rams, KC, and New England, the following list of teams either are significantly worse than we thought they were entering the year, even though they're still contenders, or they looked really questionable this week. So Saints play tonight. We'll be talking about that before the end of the hour on Straight Out of Vegas. I'm RJ Bell. But even if they win tonight convincingly, they're not as good at this point as we thought they were entering the year. The defense is not good. Minnesota, hey, they looked good yesterday, but not as good as we thought entering the year. Pittsburgh, same thing, looked good yesterday, not as good. Carolina, maybe about what we expected, but didn't look good, needing a 63-yard field goal to cover or to win, not cover, against the Giants. Green Bay, obviously, not as good. Philly, obviously not as good. And Baltimore's better than we thought, but just got beat by the Browns. The other team we would add, and our associate producer here in Vegas, Sleepy J, as he goes by, reminds me of the Jags. Jags are on this list of possible Super Bowl teams for sure, and didn't look good at all.
I still have a tough time picturing Blake Bortles winning the Super Bowl.
Well, listen, they were one play away from doing it last. Oh, winning is one thing. I'm saying even making it. So what does it mean? It means that, boy, this is a situation where the Rams are as good as any team in the last 10 years, you could make the case, if they keep playing this well. And Kansas City, bad defense, but, boy, that offense might be historic. And the Patriots have Brady and Belichick. But what else is common here? We talked about Belichick on this list. Best coach. Andy Reid, second, third, fourth best coach. McVay, second, third, fourth best coach. Some would say first. I think it's absurd. So coaching matters more in 2018 than it's ever mattered before. Why? because there's so many more young players. It's the superstars and the cheap guys is the way these caps, salary caps, are usually made up. So it means if you can coach them up and keep them consistent, even though there's a ton of turnover in personnel, you've got a big advantage. Is it a coincidence three of the five best coaches, no matter how you cut it, have the three really clearly good teams right now? Because Belichick's going to do stuff with those turned over roster that other coaches can't. And then number two, in a handful of games, there's so much inconsistency. You can't overreact to anything. I would make the case Minnesota lost two games because of a scheduling quirk. When they had that Thursday game in LA, there's no rhyme or reason to losing to Buffalo like they did. It's not like Buffalo's looked good since. I mean, they beat Tennessee, but come on. More or less, Tennessee beat themselves in that game.
Yep.
Bills looked horrible the next week, got shut out the next week. So Minnesota looked ahead, got beat, and then because it was a road Thursday game, they got beat. If that game were in Minnesota on a Sunday, Minnie wins that game, far as I could see. So now there's two losses. The idea of inconsistency plus a limited number of games means do not overreact to any given week or even couple of weeks. The Steelers very well could be the best team in the AFC. They could. I don't think they are, but I don't think there's any. Do the Steelers beat the Rams the way they played yesterday? Maybe. I think it's a close game. Pittsburgh, there's probably going to be 10 or 12 teams that could beat any team on any given Sunday, but very few are going to be consistent. And usually that consistency is going to be driven by great coaching. To me, that's the two actionable takeaways. Coaching matters today more than ever in the NFL. And don't overreact to anything because we've got very inconsistent teams. And with just a handful of games, anything can happen. When we come back, we are going to rapid fire through some of the most important takeaways in the NFL from Sunday.
He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. And this is the pregame show you always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Brought to you by Progressive Insurance. We'll compare rates for you so you get a great deal, even if it's not with us. Saving you time and money. Now that's Progressive. Call or click today.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, rapid fire reaction to several major storylines around the NFL here on Straight out of Vegas.
We bring Vegas to you each day. Right now on the Strip, 77 degrees, and the neon is flowing. Jonas, you are the voice of the fan, but you're an especially avid fan of UFC. A lot of talk about the brouhaha after the fight. What was your takeaway?
I'm surprised it doesn't happen more, honestly. And I think that's a testament to the athletes that they're able to keep their composure after battling with each other. It's a violent sport. It's a sport where there is a lot of trash talk. There is a lot of personal insults. It's not like other sports. The psychology of making your living, going in there and getting punched in the face for 15 to 20 to 25 minutes inside a cage is a different psychology than it is in any other sport. I'm surprised stuff like that doesn't happen more often, but I don't think that it's a stain on the sport or a black eye. People were disappointed by it, but if you were disappointed by it, you haven't been paying close enough attention. You guys are in Vegas. You saw one guy bite another guy's ear off one time. So it's not like this stuff hasn't happened before.
So this is a Vegas problem.
No, I'm just saying, like, you guys have seen craziness in Vegas. You've seen these fights, these bizarre...
Nah. And I actually think you swing the conversation in the direction I want to take it, because what I've heard most people say the professional hot takers. Remember, on Straight Out of Vegas, it's cold cash over hot takes. But those hot take hot shots, as they say, it's been, oh, does this hurt the sport or does it help it? And I think that's a very valid and sharp point, is if there is a rematch, it's probably going to sell more because of this fight. So in a weird way, if there's no legal jeopardy, if no charges are being pressed, and all that happens is McGregor makes another 15 or 20 or 30 million next fight, talking about affirming, you know, what is the deterrent? If anything, it's going to motivate some fighter that's mighty good, that's not getting attention. It's almost like pro wrestling. Mr. Fuji would get the salt and blow it in people's eyes, and it was like, oh my gosh, we hate Mr. Fuji now. Well, we knew it was a work, as they say, in wrestling. But what would stop legitimately a guy figuring, hey, I'm going to do something, and, you know, let's say throw, you know, obviously he's not going to do something that there'd be a legal jeopardy, but you do it, now it's on the front pages and we're all debating it, and all of a sudden that guy makes significantly more the next fight. If the UFC really wants to stop this, there can be a simple rule. It's like, remember in the NBA, if you go off the bench, off the sideline, automatic suspension. We can think back to the Suns, if I'm remembering right, and the Spurs, and that had a big influence on that series years ago. You could simply say, if there's any physicality between you or your crew at any point the day of this fight, I don't care if it's before, in the parking lot, whatever, you're suspended for 2 years.
Yeah.
Now what happens?
And it's a fair point. And when people complain about just sort of the combativeness and maybe the trash talking and it's overkill and it's a bit too much, there's a reason why the Super Bowl, it gets the biggest ratings every single year. It's because it's not just the avid football fans like you and I who watch it. It's the casual fan who also watches it. If you want to bring casual fans in, which is when you really start
it's violence.
Yes.
You're saying uncontrolled violence is what brings in the casual fans.
Unpredictability. And also a name that people, just a casual person, can recognize. You can find somebody in a supermarket who's never watched an MMA fight, but they know who Conor McGregor is. And yes, it's because of antics, but that pays the bills.
But the antics of being good on the mic are different than this physical stuff.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Being good on the mic or going on to not Letterman these days, but Jimmy Kimmel or whatever, and doing a heck of an interview or talking about, hey, I could steal his wife or whatever. Okay, that you could say, oh, that's distasteful, but you still, no one's getting hurt. Here we're saying, what you're saying is the way to get the casual fan involved is to physically put people at risk, including people just watching a ringside on the side of the fighting. So I'm not saying you're justifying it. I think if anything, Jonas, you're making the point that I think is concerning, which is this leads to more box office, so where's the deterrent?
Right.
One last thing about it, and this is the Vegas perspective. Let's ask the same thing about Vegas. Brad, if I tell you, do you want to go down to the strip and watch this event? And I say it's going to cost you this much, and you're going to have to park and drive down and all the hassles of the strip on a big fight night. If you think there's a 1 in 5 chance of a borderline riot breaking out, does that increase or decrease the chance of you going down?
It decreases it for me.
All right. I would make the case for most people that's in, but you don't go to the strip very often.
No.
Unless you're placing a bet.
Yes.
I think the average person wants to be where the action is, especially at the age and demographic of UFC fighters. You could say, oh, this is a black eye for Vegas, but I'd make the case that it's going to draw people. If you're thinking, oh, there might be a happening here if I go down for this UFC, I think it actually increases the people on the ground, not to mention the pay-per-view. So in both cases, the Andy Rooney types are saying, oh, you know, black eye. But if anything, I think it's an incentive for people to get involved, at least a certain demographic, and that's the UFC's demographic. And quite frankly, it's Vegas's demographic. Closing thoughts, Jonas.
Listen, I grew up, I never wanted to be arrested when I was growing up. Never one time did I ever want to be arrested. But you know what?
You know what I
did watch? Cops. Because I can watch other people get arrested. So if you can watch somebody get in a fist fight and it doesn't damage you, buy the pay-per-view and they are good with it.
It's on the game though, right?
Okay. Let's get into that. I got some NFL stuff here. We're going to rapid fire this stuff. Green Bay, first time that the Lions have beaten the Packers three straight since 1991.
And that was the year before Brett Favre ended up taking over the starting quarterback role for the Packers.
So think about that. Favre, Rodgers, first time during those decades Detroit's won three in a row. Could be a sign of a sea change, and it's not so much Detroit's all that good. By the way, on Sunday, if you go to pregame.com, hit Game Center, you can see all the live odds any day. Detroit was favored. If you go out on the street and ask 10 or 100 Freddy Fanny Packs eating their Twinkies on the stick, you can have Green Bay against Detroit with plus points. 80-85% are taking Green Bay. Guys, here's a rule. Here's law. Don't buck it. If Vegas is giving you a bet that you're thinking, or Freddy Fanny Pack's thinking, oh, yum, yum, gimme, gimme, be scared. Because if Vegas isn't scared of being lopsided on Green Bay, you should be scared to bet Green Bay. One last thing about the Packers. A lot of the X's and O's guys, and we have Greg Cosell every Thursday, bottom of the hour, 6:30 Eastern, right here on Straight Out of Vegas, talked about how the scheme of the Packers' offense is a little bit vanilla, but Aaron Rodgers is just so good. Well, I would make the case, as Aaron Rodgers gets older and drops off a little bit like we all do, combined with the fact that the schemes with some other teams like the Bears, like the Rams, like Kansas City, those schemes are getting so much more advanced. The relative difference between Green Bay's offense and how vanilla it is and what Rodgers can overcome with his pure ability, I think relatively Green Bay's offense is getting worse and worse compared to the other teams, the other good offenses in the league. Next up, Giants. Last 22 games, 4-18 straight up. 4-18. So, Jonas, quick answer here. I was surprised after all the distractions, potentially, the Giants played so well. They have a heartbreaker losing. Do they come together as a team, or is it the straw that breaks the camel's back for the Giants?
Based on what I saw Sunday, they come together as a team. They should have won that game.
But that's the point. The fact they didn't is what I think the risk factor is. A lot of talk about Kansas City defense looking good. Kansas City's defense against the Jags gave up 502 yards. Kind of hard to say that's good. I know some of it's garbage. Still, 502 yards, Kansas City's defense. Next up, Steelers. We've been saying it here in a very predictive sense. The Steelers, when they have to win, when they're truly against the wall, sometimes you might think they're against the wall. They're smoking cigarettes and drinking Natty Lights. But when they're really against the wall, the Steelers team can play as well as anyone. Next, Jets rush for 323 yards. Now, Denver was tired. Denver doesn't have a good rush D, and Darnold looked all right, though his stats weren't all that good, but two long completions, only 10 completions. Is this the Darnold's maturing, or is this the Jets, if they can run for 300-plus yards, can allow Darnold to be Darnold in his rookie year? I am not yet convinced about the Jets' offense or Darnold. Lastly, Rams, best team in the NFL. No one's debating it. They got two injuries. This is a classic case of cluster injuries, multiple injuries at the same position. Cooks and Kupp are in, I think, both concussion protocol. Both receivers, if both of those guys are out, wow, that's going to be tough for them next week. Keep an eye. That's an injury or two to keep an eye on for the Rams at receiver. When we come back, we're going to talk about Oklahoma and a little conspiracy theory about Mike Stoops being fired.
That's all next year on Straight Outta Vegas. First, though, for the latest from around the world of sports, Dan Beyer.
Braves have taken a 2-1 lead on the Dodgers. Could have been more, but they left the bases loaded. Had just one out in the fifth inning, but failed to put one across. Braves lead the Dodgers 2-1 in the sixth inning in Game 4 of the NLDS that you can see right now on Fox Sports 1. Dodgers up 2-1 in the best-of-five series. Astros and Indians had Game 3 of their ALDS matchup this afternoon in Cleveland.
First pitch. And Springer drives this one pretty deep to right center field. Racing back as Kipnis still going back. Looking up. See you later! Second home run of the game for George Springer. And the Astros lead is 5-2.
And see you later, Cleveland Indians. Your season's done. Astros beat them today 11-3 to sweep the best of five matchup. So the Astros go to the ALCS on the Astros Radio Network. Red Sox and Yankees play at 7:40 Eastern time tonight in their game 3 in the Bronx. As that series is tied up at one apiece, you'll see that one on TBS. Some injury news in the NFL. The Eagles have placed running back Jay Ajayi on injured reserve with a torn ACL, while Giants head coach Pat Shurmur confirmed reports that the team will either trade or release tackle Eric Flowers. In the NBA, Spurs point guard DeJounte Murray suffered a torn ACL in his right knee and is expected to miss the entire season. Some finals from the NHL earlier today. Sabres doubled up the Golden Knights 4-2. Bruins 6-3 winners over the Senators, and the Islanders blank the Sharks 4-0. Back to you guys.
Thanks, Dan. Straight out of Vegas comes to you live here from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios, where it's easy to save 15% or more on car insurance with Geico. Go to geico.com or call 800-947-AUTO. The only hard part, figuring out which way is easier. Coming up 15 minutes from now, we will have best bets and a look ahead to Monday Night Football. So your chance to make money 15 minutes from now here on Fox Sports Radio. I am Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. He is the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
I got a little personal story here for you, Jonas. I am a humongous Bob Dylan fan, seen about 40 concerts. Old school, but he did win the Nobel Prize. Think about that for a minute. And he wasn't playing in Vegas this year. He tours all year. So I went to Albuquerque. Now, I went to Albuquerque 2 years ago to see Dylan. It was a fun time. You know, went to Walter White's, you know, the Breaking Bad, different sets and all that stuff. And it was fun. So I went back, but somehow, some way, they were charging $450 a night on Saturday night for a hotel. Now, listen, in Vegas, even if you don't know anybody, you know how to get on the internet, you can get pretty nice rooms for $50 or less, not always Saturday night. But so I get down there and I find out there's a balloon festival. It's the biggest, Brad, somehow you knew this, the biggest hot air balloon festival in the world. Apparently, in a 10-day period, they have 600,000 people visit to stare at the balloons. Okay, it's $300 to ride in it, so maybe some people are riding. All right, so one, RJ, Mr. Sharp, the voice of Vegas, as Jonas says, I paid $400 and some to stay in like a Holiday Inn. All right. Now, it wasn't quite a Holiday Inn, but it was like a Holiday Inn. But it gets worse. So I show up at the airport, and there's a taxi cab. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, Uber's been getting slow for me, in general. In Albuquerque, who knows what's going on with Uber, So I look, and guy seems all right, so I jump. But, it looked like the sign on the side of the cab was at a weird angle, like it got painted on wrong or something. Almost like when criminals will, go to a bank and they have, a fake, this is a dry cleaning place or something in the truck. But I say, I'm going to take a chance. So it's only, an 8-minute drive from the airport to my hotel, my $400 a night hotel. And the meter on the cab is going up $5 a minute. I've never seen a meter like this before. So we get there and he's like, $30. It's been an 8-minute ride. And I go, all right. So what are you going to do? Right? Get in a fight on this? So I pull out my credit card. He goes, no credit card. So it's like, why? He goes, cash only. So I do pay the cash. I don't give him a tip because I know he took me. When I went today, I flew in this morning back, it was $13 from the same hotel to the airport. Uh-uh. So this guy had me on double billing. So here's the moral of the story, Jonas. You can be as sharp as you want in your town, But RJ was square in Albuquerque. RJ got took. And remember, on the wire, the great there was a great line about Stringer Bell when he said, "What did I tell you about the road game, Stringer?" Right? In Albuquerque, I was on the road and I got beat.
Well, I'll tell you, I'll take that over. I'll take paying $30 for an 8-minute ride over getting in a basket that's got a balloon and a flame attached to it. I don't know why anybody thinks that's a good idea, but not my thing. All right, so we go to college football here because in college football, the big game, the game that went down to the wire, was Texas beating Oklahoma. And afterwards, there was some fallout. Oklahoma is now out a defensive coordinator. They fire Mike Stoops there in Oklahoma. RJ, some changes, some interesting aspects to this. Oklahoma coming off their first loss of the season, making moves after the fact.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing if you look at the Oklahoma offense, and I tweeted this out. Oklahoma scored a combined 93 points in their last two losses. 93 points, 0-2 in those games. Obviously, it's a defense. Brad, my first thought, and we always try on Straight Out of Vegas to be actionable. What can you learn listening that makes you money, or at least makes you smarter than your buddies? I think this is a downgrade for Oklahoma's defense, their defense, in the short term. 2, 3, 4 games or so, all the way maybe even to the end of the regular season. Bowl games may be different because they'll have the whole month or so to prepare for the bowl game. We know if you change coordinators, even if you have the whole offseason, teams tend to start slow. So it seems like there's two choices here for the new DC. Run the same defense, and now you've just lost Mike Stoops. And unless the players didn't like him, I don't see how that helps. Or you make changes, sacrificing this year to get the new system in place. But if you do, that means it's a downgrade now to the defense because a new scheme you don't learn in a week. What do you think?
I totally agree with it. And also keep in mind just the man hours loss. I mean, I got to think that Mike Stoops was putting in 60, 70 hours a week. You can't obviously replace that overnight. It's not like they brought in and hired a new guy. They basically upgraded Ruffin McNeil to the defensive coordinator spot. So just a simple fact of the loss of man hours. Over a pretty good defense corner. Yeah, the results haven't been good the last couple of years, but on the whole, I would say Mike Stoops well above average defense coordinator in college football.
Yeah, maybe the game's passed him by. I think, and, you know, listen, I don't know this for sure, and all we can do sometimes is speculate from a distance. But I have a feeling, because when we were talking before the show, Jonas said, "Oh, wow, they must have reached out to Bob, and things must have been so bad that Bob gave the okay, the nod, as they say in the mob, to go ahead and fire my brother." And my thought was, wow, I think it's the opposite. Remember, Stoops didn't quit until May, Bob, of 17. And it was too late to hire a head coach from the outside. And Lincoln Riley was his chosen successor. But then it was also too late to fire the DC, Bob's brother, Mike Stoops. So to me, it feels like that this is Lincoln Riley saying, this is so egregious, this is so bad, losing to Texas, giving up so many points that I can eradicate Mike because, hey, Lincoln Riley wants his guy there. And can we really be certain that Mike Stoops isn't a little bit regretful and resentful that he didn't get the job? Now, we all know it doesn't make sense, but especially when the hire happened, it was, what, a 33-year-old?
Yep.
Over Mike Stoops with 6-7 years coaching, head coaching experience at Arizona. To me, this was almost like a coup where it was a chance to get rid of the last Stoops and really put an imprint, his own Lincoln Riley's, upon the program. What do you think, Brad?
I think that's definitely the case. And his hire, at least the promotion of Ruffin McNeil, says so. Lincoln Riley with long-term ties to Ruffin McNeil.
When we come back, we are going to be talking Monday Night Football. Every show, we will give you picks on that night's big game. And tonight, it's Monday Night Football.
It's money-making time. Next here, he's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you always wanted here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight Outta Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will get in to Monday Night Football and some best bets and storylines in that game. Before, though, we are brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. We do want to start with Major League Baseball, the ALDS Game 3. Coming up later on tonight, the Yankees right now a minus 175 favorite over the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, 1-1. What a series. Only five games. So this is whoever loses tonight got to win two in a row to come back. When I don't have an opinion, especially in a sport like baseball that I'm not an expert, I like to go to the experts. We've got more than 1,000 people, multiple thousands, up at pregame.com making picks. We have a pick platform. Every pick is documented. You get to see your record in given sports, sides, totals, all of it. So I go right now to the site, hit free picks, and I'm seeing the leaderboard for baseball last 30 days. We've got two of the leaders on the Yankees on the money line. And by the way, the top guy is number two. The number one guy doesn't have a pick. The top guy's number two. He's up 18 units in the last month. All right, so two guys on the Yankees, one on the Red Sox, and one guy who's up 18 units also this month on the under. So based upon the guys that's been super, super hot in the last month or so, 2-1 Yankees money line, and 1-0 on the under in this baseball game.
Guys, later on, Monday Night Football is in New Orleans. The Saints currently a six-point favorite over the Washington Redskins.
Boy, this is about the number to me. Now, I've got a fun bet, a green button bet, on where I've got Washington. So, Jonas, I like Washington here. But, boy, at 7, I'm taking off the rubber band. And at 6, it's a strong, lean, borderline-like. And it really shows you, and it bears repeating, professional bettors bet numbers, recreational bettors bet teams. To me, it's not so much I like the Redskins or don't. I just feel like the number's a little short for me to make a big bet on this.
The big storyline going into this game is Drew Brees needs 201 passing yards to break the NFL's all-time record held by Peyton Manning. If there's a milestone like that on the line, do you guys handicap this differently or do you bet it differently based on that? Are there more, do you look at the point total differently? Do you look at a prop bet as far as who catches the pass? Is sentimental? Is he got a better connection with the receiver?
Yeah,
how do you guys look at it?
I mean, to me, you're making a great point, and I think it depends. And specifically in this case, I think it's advantage Saints because here's what we know. When the Saints are winning, the Saints have one of the best home field advantages in the NFL. When they're not winning, it goes to average, maybe a little bit better than average, Saints home field. And there's a trend that I've got. When the Saints have a better than 500 record, so a winning record, against the spread at home, they are outstanding. And when they don't have a winning record, break even. Now, they're 2-2. But one, it's a Monday Night Football game, so the crowd's going to be into it. This is a team with Super Bowl aspirations. So Monday Night Football, Super Bowl aspirations for the Saints. Now you add in Jonas's savvy point about, hey, there's a record likely to be set for the greatest Saint of all time. You know, I would have said maybe Tom Dempsey way back when, but now they're, 63 yarders happen all the time. Boy, I used to love that. The guy, I don't know if most people would probably see the film where the ump or the referee's down on his knees to make it short, goes over the crossbar. Oh, what a.
It's legendary.
It really shows you how NFL films, how the magic, how the icons of the past they captured so well. But Brees is one of the great Saints, if not the greatest. And I think it just hypes up the crowd. Advantage Saints in that regard.
Yeah, and the Saints are actually, RJ, 3-1, coming off a couple of road wins where the Saints, and they beat the Browns at home. So,
The Saints. Oh, okay. You know, in my mind, I was thinking that I keep thinking they had such a tight game against the Browns.
Yeah.
So it does reinforce the point that trend is applicable, which is, but with that Monday night and Breeze's excitement, but I think you can look the other way, guys, which is Washington's in control of their own destiny in the NFC East. So what happened on Sunday, it has to make that resting, getting ready for the Monday night game skin say, guys, we might be the best team in the East right now. I think whatever enthusiasm they had for the season increased because of their position now. Easily, I mean, listen, the Giants are horrible. The Eagles are the Super Bowl champs, but who knows? And Dallas is horrible. I mean, the Skins right now, are they favored to win the East? So I think the enthusiasm's there. So I'm going to go not a like, but a lean on the Skins plus the 6.
The Odd Couple comes up next here on Fox Sports Radio. We are Straight Out of Vegas. We are back here tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, here on FSR.
Straight Out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.